You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison. It's at NolaJake on Twitter. I'm also a writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, where you can see a lot of my work. I'm very happy to be here with you on a Tuesday morning. I'm glad we've got this podcast up early for everyone, so you can listen to it on your morning commute. That's the goal going forward. I think we're going to be pretty good about this, at least the rest of the week and probably for most of the season. So these should hopefully be available to however you're getting your podcast, especially if you've subscribed to it, whether it's through Stitcher, Audio Boom, iTunes, whatever it is. Hopefully they should be up. You know, I'd like to get them up maybe 6, 7 in the morning for you all so you have them ready to go for the car ride there. That's the whole point of coming to you 5 days a week and being part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, we're going to have a more optimistic podcast. I'm happier that we're going to talk about the positive things with the Pelicans this season. I know I depressed you all yesterday. It was very negative. It was a Monday. You are already upset to have to get back to work anyway. You can't really blame your bad day on me. Today, we're going to be more optimistic. We'll talk about the areas where I think the Pelicans are going to do well, some of my expectations for them. Tomorrow, home opener in the Smoothie King Center against the Denver Nuggets. I'm going to preview that game for you tomorrow. I'm going to talk a little bit about Anthony Davis at center, that small lineup, and why Davis actually kind of creates a problem for building this Pelicans team. It's a bit of a theory I've been thinking about a lot, diving into some of the stats on. I'm going to be excited to share that with you tomorrow, as well as preview the game, you know, talk about what we should expect, what we want to see from the Pelicans, what are things to avoid. We'll dive into all of that tomorrow. Thursday, we'll recap the game, talk about what I saw, what you guys all saw, the good, the bad, the super ugly. There'll probably be a little bit of that as well. Friday, we're going to preview the Warriors game. I'm unfortunately not going to be there, but I'll have the preview for you, get you set up for your weekend, and then I'll be back with you guys on Monday. Now, before we get to the good parts of the Pelican season, I've got something else that's good for you, and y'all have heard me mention it here before, and that's going to be SeatGeek. This is the best way to make sure you're at the Pelicans home opener, that you're at the game against the Warriors this coming Friday in Durant's first road game. Come on, you know you want to be there. It's going to be the best way if you want to try to go to the LSU-Alabama game to try and find tickets. SeatGeek's an aggregator. It's going to pull all different websites together to show you all of the listings. It's going to give you a ranking on the prices so you know you're getting the best value for your money. You work hard. You don't want to waste your money on bad seats or overpriced seats. Get the seats you want for the best value. SeatGeek's going to be the way to do that. And what's great for our listeners of Locked On Pelicans is we do have a promo going with them. If you download the SeatGeek app through the iTunes Store, the Apple Store, or Google Play, go to the settings, type in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans. It's going to give you a $20 rebate. So it's going to make your seats a little bit cheaper. It'll give you something to spend on concessions in the game. That's the nice thing. You're going to get a check for $20 in the mail for going to the game you already want to go to. There's nothing bad about that. SeatGeek, like I said, it's just the best way to get into any game you want. I've used it for Saints games a ton. I actually have my personal season tickets to the Pelicans. I can't make it on Friday listed on there as well. You might be the one that ends up buying them. Who knows? But use SeatGeek. It's the best way to go. LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans. Download the app. Make sure you're in the game. Don't miss out on anything at all. So the good for this Pelicans team, and frankly, there is going to be a lot more bad than good, at least to start the year. This Pelicans team is in a bit of a transition. I think they're just looking, what I've said, it's just tangential improvement. Improve in few certain areas, defense particularly. Show improvement, be happy with that, and then really make your push this the next season. This is the year. They're still a piece or two away, though they've added the right type of guys. And I think if free agency goes well in this next offseason, then maybe they manage to move Ajinsa or Ashik, and I'll touch on that. They can really do some damage in the playoffs and maybe jump up to a 6 seed potentially in the next season, but they're not there yet, so they're still going to be more bad than good so far. So what's the good? And I'm going to surprise you a little bit by actually starting with defense. You know, I talked yesterday about how the defense was pretty bad, how it's going to be struggling, though they've signed the right guys. But there's one part of the defense that has been good and was quite well for them last year, and that's transition defense. The Pelicans were 8th best in opponent fast break points per game last season. They were top 10 in something in the defense. They don't give up a lot of fast break opportunities. By foregoing offensive rebounds and sending everyone back once the shot is taken, whether it's missed or made, you get back, you get set. Teams can't play in transition against you that way. A lot of teams do this in the league, the Warriors in particular, and the Spurs have done it for years. It's kind kind of a trend that's been growing, and the Pelicans are part of it. By getting back in and getting set on defense, no transition can really be played against you. Transition, especially if you go by the Synergy Sports Stats on NBA.com/stats, is one of the easiest ways teams score. They tend to have the highest points per possession for it. So by limiting that, the Pelicans are taking away some of the easiest offense for the opponent. It's a pretty smart strategy, but they're not just taking it away. Teams only posted the Pelicans had the 12th best efficiency against opponents' fast breaks. So not only were they limiting the opportunities by ranking 8th best in points per game against them from fast breaks, but they were 12th best in defending it just in general. Part of that has to do with the athleticism on this team. These guys have long arms. They're quick. They can get back. So if they do get caught out in transition, it's not like they're getting burnt entirely. Think along the lines of not quite the level, but the LeBron James block on Iguodala in, what was it, Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That's kind of how this Pelicans team defends it too, to an extent. They can get back and still make plays on the ball and on the defender, even if they've been burnt in transition a little bit. A lot of that also has to do with Anthony Davis. I mean, the dude's just such a freak athlete. He can get back, he can defend, he gets his arms up, and that's going to lead him to be, you know, pretty good in that area. So limiting transition, I expect this will be the same approach this coming season. They're not really going to go for offensive rebounds, especially when Omer Asik isn't on the court. When he's on the court, they might go for it a little bit more. But frankly, this strategy worked for the Pelicans last year. You know, for a defense that was as bad as they are, it's that defense is bad in the half court. In transition, where teams, like I said, it's easiest for them to score, Pelicans limit that damage that can be done against them. That's something you can build your defense around. It's kind of a core you've got set. Expand on that, and hopefully guys like Solomon Hill, Langston Galloway, each one more. You know, this defense should improve overall, and that's kind of the second point I've wanted to mention. Yeah, it looked bad in preseason, but it's only been 6 games. This hasn't been going on, you know, for 42, 41, 50 games yet. This time, they need more than 6 games to get accustomed to each other, to knowing where the rotation's going to come from, to calling out backdoor cutters, different things like that. When you're traveling through China and on the whirlwind that they kind of had this preseason, yeah, it's going to be a little bit harder to get those basics down. It's going to take some time for them to, you know, get this all working against real NBA talent and competition. That's what the regular season's going to be. It's unfortunate that they need to do that, but it's the way it's going to go. Expect this defense to improve as the season goes on. I don't think they jump into the top 5, nor do I think they'll jump into the top 10, but if they can simply jump into the top half of the league, say they rank 15th in defensive efficiency this season, like I said, that's tangible improvement. It's not too much of a stretch. You're not asking for guys to become otherworldly defenders. Hey, let's just play smart team defense here, and that's something I do believe the Pelicans can do. Don't forget, Darren Erman is known as a defensive guru. Coaches or players speak very highly of him. A few have said they expect him to be a head coach at some point. So if he can come out now that he's got the players he want in Solomon Hill, Langston Galloway, each one more, even Buddy Hield's pretty solid defensively. He's got the guys he wants, and let's see if Erman can unlock the potential. And one of the good things is, frankly, if he's not able to do this, you know you can get rid of him and maybe scrap this whole coaching staff. If it doesn't work this year, at least the Pelicans know where they stand. Just having that, which they haven't had a ton in the past due to injuries, not being able to see guys on the court together at the same time, but just simply knowing where you are and where your team stands, that's definitely a nice thing. And at the very least, that's what the Pelicans are going to get this season. So now some reason to be optimistic about the other side of the ball. And obviously, I think you're all going to kind of know most of this, but and these all tie together big time. The first is that Anthony Davis looks much more motivated than he had been, say, last season, where he was publicly called out by Alvin Gentry in a timeout. And reporters asked him about it, and he kind of admitted that he was just kind of taking some plays off, that he didn't seem as motivated to be the best player on the team or to be one of the top players in the NBA as he could have been, as he has in the past. We all know about his drive to be one of the best all times. He was kind of lacking that at times last season. It seemed a bit odd. Maybe that was just the weight of the expectations and not reaching them. But whatever it is, that seems to be gone this year, and that's a great thing if you're a Pelicans fan. He looks more motivated. I think another part of it might be losing the $24 million of not making an All-NBA team and getting that Rose Rule kicker into the contract extension. But he looks ready to step up and be a leader, be more assertive, be more vocal, be the guy who's going to take control of this locker room. You know, they didn't really talk about it a ton publicly, but you kind of got the feeling there people were kind of brushing up against each other in the locker room last season. Again, probably due to the expectations and not reaching them in the 30-win season. That's always going to be frustrating to NBA players. But Anthony Davis doesn't seem like he's going to let that happen this coming season. So getting the locker room straight. Having the best player in your team be the vocal leader is only going to be a good thing. He's healthy for the first time in a while. He's actually quite well rested too. Didn't play in any of the Olympics, didn't play with the U.S. national team. He had done that before. He'd always been with the team, whether it was FIBA or the Olympics, his first year in the league. Now he gets a season off, or an off season of just rest. He had surgery. He seems healthy. You know, we know about the ankle injury in preseason against the Rockets while in China, but he seemed to shake that off much quicker. It was questionable whether he'd be ready for opening night, but he bounced back to play in the final preseason game where he played over 35 minutes that game, where he posted over 30 points. He shook that injury off quick and he came back ready to play. You're going to see that from him opening night. You're certainly going to see that against the Warriors on Friday. The biggest thing is he seems ready to bounce back, reclaim his place as one of the top five players, and I think he's going to be a pretty strong dark horse MVP candidate going forward this season. He posted nearly the same stat line last season as he did the year before, which brought him all of the hype. If he can get back to, you know, above that, get to where the step we thought he would take last season, he can carry this team some. He's going to need some help. He still needs to improve on defense, but you have a healthy and rested Anthony Davis for the first time in a while, and that alone is a reason to be excited if you're a Pelicans fan. So it's not just the motivation that makes me think Anthony Davis is going to have a significantly better year. A lot of it is there's much more shooting on this team than there have been in years before. I remember this a couple years ago, Zach Lowe, when Grantland was still around, wrote a piece about Anthony Davis. It was the idea of putting him at center and surrounding him with four shooters. And forget what's going to happen to the defense in that case, and I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. Yeah, I've said I don't really like Anthony Davis playing center a ton, actually, the more I've dived into a lot of this. So just think of him with four shooters. We saw the year before and towards the end of last year, at times he shows off some great passing. Because of the court gravity he commands, you need to double team him when he's on the low block because of his face-up game, because of his mid-range game, because of his ability in the pick and roll. You need to have two guys there. It's going to leave a shooter open on the perimeter somewhere. If he can get that ball to him, make a pass out, a kick out, oh man, is this offense potentially going to be deadly? Seems like he's going to be able to do a lot of that this year. There's more shooting that pulls guys out of the paint, frees Davis up to have much more space. Think about the offense when he and Oshik are out there together and just how mucked up it is down low underneath the basket, how Davis is getting constant double teams. Now imagine him playing one-on-one down there with a ton of room to operate. It's a scary thought, and that's because there's much more shooting on this team this year. The shooting also helps in other aspects, and like I said, this is all tied together. Think about this passing and ball movement that you saw in preseason this year. The Pelicans jumped up to a 65.8 assist percentage. So all of the shots they made, 65.8 of them were assisted. That's compared to 57.7% for the season last year. So they're jumping up, you know, right around a 8% increase. That is very significant. There's going to be more passes. There's going to be more ball movement. Frankly, having more shooters and better shooters means you're going to get more assists because those guys are making the shot. But you also have confidence to make that extra pass, knowing the guy can make the shot. You're less likely, if you're a Pelicans player, to get the ball in your hands and drive to the rim because you don't trust your teammates. Now you have Langston Galloway, who's deadly from the corners, Buddy Hield, who's the shooter we all know from college. Each one Moore has been a tremendous for the Pelicans in preseason. And Solomon Hill is probably the least accomplished out of all of them, but shows he can hit that corner three in the right spots. He also knows when to attack on offense. So I think this offense will be improved just because you get that more passing and ball movement and less selfish play. They want that unselfish style of ball that you see with the Warriors, that you see with the Spurs, and I think they're going to really be seeing it this coming season. Now, there's one more thing I want to mention, and I can't say this is going to happen. Of all the things I've said today on the podcast, this is the one I don't know if I actually believe in, though it's spinning in my head that this could be potential, so I'm going to go out on a limb here. And I don't mind if this comes back and burns me, because I don't think anyone really truly expects this to actually come to fruition. But we need to talk about Omer Oshik and how he's looked in preseason. He's looked pretty good. You know, he's not going to be a tremendous player. He's not going to be a 35-minute guy. You don't want him out on the court with Anthony Davis a ton, though you still need to have him out there for rebounding purposes. But Oshik has looked healthy. It looks like he's moving a little bit better. We've seen him play in fast-paced offenses, whether that was in Chicago or his two seasons in Houston, where he looked tremendous. He can play in a faster pace offense. You just don't really get him down the court running in transition. It doesn't mean he can't play in the system. if he keeps this up and is making his free throws at the line, and that's not a guarantee by any means at all, but if he can keep this up, make those free throws, his contract might not be the worst in the league. Don't forget, his deal was signed with anticipation that the salary cap would be rising. Dell Demps has done this a few times before where he signs guys to long-term deals, knowing their contract isn't going to inflate. It's not going to be under the new cap. We saw some of the deals given out this past offseason that kind of made your eyes pop. Oshik at his, you know, 10, 12 million a year in the final year being non-guaranteed is going to look significantly better when the salary cap's higher. You need to look at percentage of the cap, not actual dollars. That's the key. And his percentage is starting to look significantly better with the salary cap rising. If the Pelicans play him 20 to 25 minutes and use him in the correct role, which is just rebound and put back shots, that's all you need him to do. Don't run the offense through him. Don't really get him the ball down low. You hide him somehow if you need to, but use him in the correct role. He might be tradable. There might be a playoff team that really could use him. Sometimes it's tough to find these rim-protecting centers, and if Oshik rebounds well, shows that he can play this game again, that he isn't, you know, this big waste of space, this person taking up air, they might be able to trade him. Moving him and moving his contract gives the Pelicans a ton of flexibility next year. Like I said, I'm not hanging my hat on this. Don't quote me and say I'm saying this is going to happen. That's not the case. But it's something to keep an eye on. And you know the Pelicans are going to be looking to trade him at some point. So they're going to try and showcase him a little bit early and often and try and get him in best position to get them any return they can. They'd move him for free, I'm sure. No one wants to take him just yet because of the production's been down. But he's looked just much better. Again, the movement, the ability to play in this offense and not clog the lane too much has been significant. And if he keeps making those free throws, if he gets fouled down low, you're not upset anymore. Teams can't keep using that as a viable option to kill a Pelicans possession and send Oshik to the line. Think about like the hack of DeAndre Jordan, the hack of Drummond, those type ideas. You could do that with Oshik to an extent. The Spurs did it against the Pelicans at times too. If he's making those shots, you can't do it. It keeps your possessions alive, gives you a chance for better looks, better, you know, more three-pointers, and that's going to help this offense overall. That's your positive Pelicans preview as opposed to yesterday when I depressed you out and said all the negative things here. Like I said, there's a lot to be looking forward to for this Pelicans team. Anthony Davis, the main one. Someone asked me on Twitter today, why would you, you know, want Pelican season tickets? Why would you renew? And I can't answer that question for you, but there are bright spots on this team. Again, Anthony Davis is going to be tremendous to watch. You never know when he's going to go off for 59 points and 20 rebounds. It can happen any night. You want to be there watching these games for that. Buddy Hield is going to be so much fun to watch. He's so happy to be here, so excited to play. Etuan Moore, I think, is going to be a fan favorite. You've got Tim Frazier trying to dish out assists and doing what he can to facilitate this offense until Jrue Holiday comes back. And with Holiday, reinforcements will be arriving at some point. Holiday should come back and play. I'm not going to say well should. Tyreek Evans will come back at some point. Quincy Pondexter, you have to figure, can't miss two full seasons. These guys are going to come back, and though the Pelicans have a tough schedule, if they can tread water, and treading water to them should be right around, say, 400 ball, not even 50-50. They're not going to be playing 500. 400 to 450 win percentage. They can stay in this playoff hunt once those guys come back. If they can do that, you should be very excited about this team, say, come January, February. But if not, we'll see. It'll be a long year. And the Pelicans have yet to prove the defense is going to get where it needs to be. The offense will, you know, be foolproof and an efficient oiled machine here. We're going to find out. The game's tomorrow. I'll be back with the preview. I'm Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Thanks for listening to Locked On Pelicans today, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, 5 days a week. Don't forget to like it, subscribe it, share it, even if it's just with a friend of yours, and download it. Make sure you're listening every day. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.